This episode of Shakesplorers is brought to you by Benchmark Maps. Whether navigating through the long road between Yellowstone and Glacier National Parks in western Montana, or the vast openness of West Texas, we want as much reliable information as possible. Benchmark Maps has been field checking their atlases for accuracy for over 23 years. They drive thousands of miles in each western state to assess road conditions and build the most comprehensive database of recreation points of interest possible. So when you drive down a dirt road, you'll know someone from Benchmark Maps has already driven it themselves. This makes Benchmark Maps a great holiday gift for loved ones and fellow travelers. You'll know you're pointing them in the right direction. Learn more at benchmarkmaps.com and use coupon code SHEEXPLORERS for 20% off your order. That's benchmarkmaps.com, coupon code SHEEXPLORERS. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores. Year's end is a great time for reflection, for looking back to recognize accomplishments and room for improvements. It's also a time for planning, for looking forward. A year is a tidy bookmark that way. And this episode is about looking forward in our outdoor lives. So while the outdoors intersects with so many other aspects of our lives, in this episode, the lens through which your hopes and goals will be positioned will be through one with pine needles, rushing water, and the crunch of dirt under your boots. I put out a call for voice submissions, asking questions like, how will you bring what you've learned in the outdoors this year into 2019? Are you hoping to take up a new skill? Is there anyone you want to introduce to your outdoor life? Do you have any big trips planned? Or are you embracing resources closer to home? And it was really fun to see that the answers were a resounding yes all around. Per usual, I couldn't fit in all of the submissions, but I tried to pick the ones that reflected themes I heard in my inbox. For the most part, names will be shared at the end rather than interwoven through. I hope you enjoy hearing what other listeners are looking forward to in their outdoor lives, and I hope they'll inspire you to take the kind of action that's right for you too. We start with a simple question.
My goal for the next year is to just ask myself as frequently as possible in any activity that I'm doing in my day-to-day life, is this something that I can do outside? And does this leave time for me to be outside? How can I be outside more? And I just want to ask myself that over and over in the next year. I'm really looking forward to implementing that because I think it's kind of a practical way to achieve a pretty vague goal, which is just to spend more time outside. I was not raised as an outdoorsy person. I'm not a strong swimmer. I didn't have the money to learn how to ski. My mom doesn't like camping. I never went on a hike until I was like in my 20s. I'm a pretty fit person, but I'm not a particularly outdoorsy person, but I really want to be. It just feels like there's so many barriers to that, and I'm trying really hard to look for creative ways to overcome those barriers and not to be intimidated by what I see on social media or in like outfitter-sponsored YouTube videos. And I'm really excited to just be asking myself that question in the next year. Can I do this outside, or how can I be outside today and just really run with that?
So something that happened to me this year, which was really neat, was that I partook in a farming program for the year and gained a group of about 14 new friends, and I got to share the world of the outdoors with them. They all were excited about being outside, but really didn't have much experience in it. And that's one of my favorite things, is bringing people.
While it can be invigorating to be out there solo, it's also wonderful to share what you love with others. Alicia speaks to this.
What it did for me was really give me a wake-up call and make me a little more humble when it comes to the outdoors, because I've gotten really swept up, I didn't realize I had in the past years, with gear and what it means to be allowed to be outdoors. And you know, that's such a ridiculous phrase, to be allowed to be outdoors. We went camping just in a regional park for multiple days, and people didn't have their gear and they didn't have sleeping bags or mats and tents, and it was this big gear swap of who had what and what could be borrowed, and a lot of it was what could be made do with, and people used blankets instead of sleeping bags, and they just said they would sleep on the ground, they didn't need a mat, and it just reminded me so much of what I used to do when I first started camping, and I wasn't about to let lack of gear hold me back, that was ridiculous. And the same as one of the girls from the farm, I took her on a backpacking trip when she had never actually spent the night ever in the outdoors. And we did a 6-day hiking trip across the Sunshine Coast Trail. And she did not have a proper, you know, backpacking pack. And I was quite stressed out about this leading up to it, that how could we possibly hike the Sunshine Coast Trail when she didn't have a pack to carry her things. But she wanted to go, and she didn't see an issue with it, and she brought her school bag and tied on the gear she had scrambled up, and we hiked the Sunshine Coast Trail, and it was as simple as that. You know, it might sound ridiculous, but that just has been such a good reminder to me to calm down and not be so worried about what I do or don't have when it comes to trying something new or planning a bigger trip. Or, you know, bringing friends into the outdoors, because that's not why we go outside. A lot of our gear nowadays is for comfort. There's definitely a level of safety. I never want to, you know, ignore the safety factor, but largely once you have your safety covered, you're good. And a little discomfort tends to be what makes it more of an adventure. And, you know, whether I am planning a camping trip for a friend who's never been before, or if I'm planning a kayak trip to Alaska for me who's never been before, just that reminder to stay humble and to remember why you're heading out there and what you really do or don't need. What it's about is that thrill of connection and excitement and love for being outside, not having gators.
Hi, I'm Ruby Goldman, and I'm a 10-year-old, and I live in Sedona, Arizona. Me and my mom just recently started backpacking.
I'm Jenny, and I'm 48, and Ruby and I just did
rim to rim in 3 nights in the Grand Canyon.
And Ruby carried 15 pounds on her back.
Most of it being candy.
And I carried 40 pounds.
My God. And we're looking forward to doing a bunch of outdoor adventures
together
in 2019.
We're hoping to do Have a Soup Pie together.
And we are hoping to do another rafting trip in Utah.
And also a rafting trip down the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon for 8 nights, which is a guided tour. And what do you love about our adventures together?
I don't know. I just like seeing the outdoors and like seeing everything around us that you would never notice if you're inside watching TV.
How did you feel about having a 15-pound pack on your back?
It was heavy. And several times my mom offered to carry it because I kept complaining.
But you wouldn't let me. And you wouldn't let me lighten your pack, and I was super proud of you.
And
we're hoping to start taking our standard poodles backpacking with us.
Probably not in the Grand Canyon, but some other place.
We're going to try to do it at Sycamore Canyon in Arizona, a place that was our first backpacking trip together.
It was awesome.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And there was so much water. It was great.
But there were also rattlesnakes.
There was?
There were.
You didn't tell me that.
We didn't see them. We heard about them.
Okay. That's good.
And another thing we love to do is to cowboy camp.
Sleeping outdoors, in case you didn't know.
Watching shooting stars.
And sleeping in sleeping bags.
Yeah, we are in sleeping bags.
Luckily.
We just love doing these adventures together. They're super fun, and we like planning them, and we're really excited when we accomplish them.
Yes.
One of the things I'm looking forward to most in 2019 is some volunteering that I'm doing. My husband and I are quite involved with our local family and children's services. We both volunteer as mentors, and I have just signed up for a new match with this 16-year-old girl who's going through some pretty heavy stuff in her life right now. And so I'm looking forward to introducing her to the outdoors. We talk a lot on this show about access to the outdoors, and that's something that she just hasn't had. And I'm hoping to expose her. I mean, there's no guarantee she'll like it, but the outdoors has really offered me a lot. It's helped me gain confidence in myself. It is simultaneously like a healthy form of escape, but also a really great place to process what's going on in my life. And I really hope that it might do the same for her. One of the things that I wish most in my life was that I had discovered my love of the outdoors earlier on, particularly during those difficult teenage years where I was starting to really struggle with my mental health and where I fit in and some of the traumatic things that happened. So I guess I'm hoping that while I can't go back and change my story, that perhaps the outdoors might help her change her own.
This year I started hiking the Pisgah 400 with my dog. I guess I actually started it last year and then worked on it at the beginning of this year. But he died in July, and a few weeks ago I got a new dog named Amos, and Amos and I will be, hopefully next year, we will be finishing the Pisgah 400 together. That's 400 miles of trail in Pisgah National Forest in North Carolina. And then in May I'm going to graduate college, and so he and I will get in a van and point it west and move to Montana. And there I hope to take up skiing and introduce him to the outdoors that I love, like backpacking and pack rafting. So hopefully he is as down for the adventure as I'm hoping he is, but he seems so far to love it. So that's what I'm doing next year.
Hi, my name is Deandra Oliver, and I'm a blogger and parent and PhD student and partner who lives on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, including the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish nations. My story about what I'm doing next year starts this year, actually, and starts with a human named Layla Cameron, who created the Fat Hiking Club film documentary that premiered last year, that was about, or is about, fat girls hiking, founded by Summer out of Portland, Oregon. And I met Layla at, of all places, Fat Camp, where we learned more about like fat advocacy and fat lives, and we both identify as fat, and it was really cool to like meet a fellow fat person who was actively researching fat phobia and working against dealing with these sorts of things in both like our academic lives and also in our personal lives.
Through Layla, Deandra also found out about a group of fat folks who were climbing Mount Kilimanjaro in 2019. At first, she was really bummed to learn that the list was full, but she signed up for either a wait list or an email list. She was so excited that she didn't remember exactly what she signed up for and didn't really think about it again until a July day after a big softball tournament.
What was really interesting is like I had an intense day, very proud and exciting day, and I came home to an email from Krista Singleton from Travel Fearlessly that said that turns out you'd signed up for this wait list. A group of 20 amazing fat folks from around the world are hiking Mount Kilimanjaro, and there's a spot. Do you want it? And I guess my life changed. So I've always spend time outside, and I've always felt like I didn't fit outside, and saying yes and making the financial commitment to go on this trip with the Curvy Killy crew next March was like a life changer for me. Like, not only have I met this group of 20 amazing humans who are training, they are building strength, they're building relationships, they're learning how to like inspire others and be inspired, and then like advocate for fat bodies in the outdoor industry, which is like so hard when like nothing fits you, nothing's made to like support you to be outside. And I'm like so grateful for the generative relationships that are forming out of this group. And so this fall I simulated Kilimanjaro in Vancouver and the area, and have been working steadily on training to get ready. And now that I'm moving, have planned a few like long snowshoe trips with a parent up north to prepare. And I leave Vancouver on February 27th to head to Tanzania. And I'm like so terrified of putting my body through what I did again with the simulation, but like with the altitude. But also I'm like so excited to be part of A, the Curvy Killy crew, but also to like support each other to take space on the side of the mountain, but also like in an industry that doesn't know how yet to receive us.
We'll hear more after this. What would it look like if we all listened more? Listening to audiobooks motivates us, inspires us, even brings us closer together. And Audible is a great place to listen to exclusive audio fitness programs, audiobooks, Audible originals, and more. They have the largest selection of audiobooks anywhere. There's little I like more than a memoir, getting the opportunity to dive into a person's story from their own perspective. And I especially enjoy an adventure or thru-hiking memoir. So if you're looking for an audiobook to start with, I go with Through Hiking Will Break Your Heart by Kara Quinn. Nick Antoinette mentioned it in episode 92. The thing that I love about Through Hiking Will Break Your Heart is that it feels like you're on the trail with Carrot. There's a pacing to the book that really speeds up over time, just like a real through hike. Every month, Audible members get one credit good for any audiobook they choose, plus two Audible originals from a changing selection that they can't get anywhere else. Start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/explore or text explore to 500-500 to get started. That's audible.com/explore or text explore to 500-500 to get started. So you'll be able to enjoy an Audible book on the trail, in the car, wherever you want to hear a great story. We're back with a few stories of healing.
After my miscarriage, I turned to the outdoors for some much-needed healing. My husband and I, we formed a bucket list of sorts of all the things we wanted to do outside while we were still just the two of us. And we spent most of 2018 working through them, checking things off, and it was incredibly satisfying. And eventually it just didn't hurt as much anymore. It didn't feel so devastating. And we decided to try again, and here we are in December 2018. I'm pregnant again, this time with twins. And it feels incredibly thrilling and frightening at the same time. And so I hope 2019 brings many opportunities for me to continue spending time outside. And even if that means doing things a little differently, moving my body differently, because it's changing. So I welcome that change. And once the babies are here, I can't wait to take them outside, even if it's just a little bit at a time, giving them a taste of all the wonderful things this world has to offer, all the joy that I have discovered, the source of healing, the laughter, the memories. Yeah, that would be a wonderful 2019.
I've set some pretty lofty goals for myself in 2019. Most of them center around mountaineering or alpine climbing. I want to finish my Washington volcanoes with successful summits of Rainier, known as Tahoma, and Baker, known as Comacolchon. I want to try a traverse of the Pickets Range deep in the North Cascades, and there are a handful of different multi-pitch alpine climbs that I'm itching to get on. On the surface level, this is all about getting outside and having fun, but the reality goes much deeper. Much like many other women across the world, my life has been punctuated by acts of sexual violence. For a long time, this trauma manifested in my physical body, with sickness, illness, and also a deeply rooted sense of unease. I've never known how to love my body, and this is something I've struggled with my entire life. For a while, I thought I was doing a lot better, and then, in the midst of 2018, I realized I wasn't. Between the Kavanaugh confirmation, Dr. Ford, Aziz Ansari, Harvey Weinstein, I felt sick. And as my body reminded me in no uncertain terms of the deeply rooted trauma that I still had to fight, I began to resent it. And in that resentment, I failed to treat it carefully, with kindness and with love. And I started to struggle. I think in some ways or on some unconscious level, I was angry at my body for holding on to things that I so desperately want to get rid of. But like many things, the only way out is through. Accessing wild spaces has always lent me a sense of comfort and solace, despite the hardship that has helped me immensely in regaining a sense of control in my body, a sense of trust and comfort, and allowing me to love myself on a level that has been hard. My hope in taking on these new challenges is that the act of preparation itself will be great for reminding me what self-love looks like, what self-care looks like in a physical sense, and that I am strong and capable of more things than I know. And I'm hoping that when we hit the trail, the sense of camaraderie and the beauty and the awe that it inspires will be a balm for my soul. And I'm hoping that when I stand on top of at least one summit, or even if I don't, that I'll remember I'm strong and capable, and that remembrance will sink deep into my bones. Because the type of healing that I get from outdoor spaces and moving through them under my own power is something I have never found in any other places. So I'm really excited to see what happens in the coming year.
That was Megan Young. As we talk about healing in the outdoors, it can be emotional and it can be physical. We heard from several women about their recovery from injuries, including our own Haley Hurst, who heads up online editorial content on she-explorers.com.
For 2019, I don't have any grand plans, but I had knee surgery about a month ago, so I'm looking forward to going for a walk without crutches, like such an ordinary, non-adventurous thing, but I know it'll feel really good to get back out there and just do a simple thing. After an injury last winter, I spent a lot of the last year in a knee brace and a ton of time indoors. So now post-surgery and in recovery, I'm looking forward to gradually getting stronger and getting back out there to hike and maybe even backpack by next summer. I've been dreaming about doing a multi-day backpacking trip in the Sawtooth Mountains of Idaho, but I know I've got some long months of recovery ahead of me before my leg is strong enough to get me up that mountain. So right now, I'm focusing on slow progress, and for the next little while, I'm just looking forward to being able to walk and drive myself places and be outside, even if that's just to sit around a bonfire with friends or to go for a very slow walk in my neighborhood.
I really want to claim it as my year of the comeback.
This is Kimberly.
I have become highly involved with my local land conservancy and also serve as the president of my local New England Mountain Bike Association chapter, and ended up in April suffering a significant injury, and that required ACL reconstruction in June of 2018. It's been a long process of healing, but I've definitely seen the silver lining of spending more time with my girls, taking toddler pace hikes. But I'm hoping, as moving into 2019, I'm able to get back on my bike, put the level of work needed into the trails in our area, and really take my giant step forward, both independently and within the organizations that I represent.
Kimberly isn't the only person who has conservation on her mind for 2019. I heard from another listener, Katarina, about how she's gotten more involved this past year and how she'll continue advocating in the next.
So 2018 was really significant for me and my pursuit of outdoor adventure. I moved from the beautiful Dolomites in northern Italy back to my home country of Slovenia, that is very well known for its alpine environment, and 60% of the country is covered in forest. So there is a lot of hiking you can do, and just it's a great place to live your best outdoor self. One of the bigger things that happened this year, the biggest thing that happened this year was the fact that I joined the Balkan River Defense Team. This is a group of people that a couple of years ago started the fight for the last free flowing rivers in the Balkans Peninsula. It's a bunch of kayakers who just wanted to promote these rivers and share them with the world. So this is why they made a documentary. And then this year we embarked on the third Balkan Rivers Tour with two vans, an old 80s trailer that we turned into our kitchen, 10 kayaks and a bunch of media gear, and we headed down south. We made about 5,000 kilometers. We stopped in many capital cities and in the suburbs and in these small local areas where people are fighting really hard for their rivers, because there are, 2,700 dams being planned to be built in the Balkans Peninsula. I'm not even joking, 2,700. Like everywhere else in the world, we are tearing them down and we are blowing things up. But here in the Balkans, that is also known as the Blue Heart of Europe because of its amazing healthy rivers, they want to build 2,700 dams. So one of the big things that I learned this year is that you just have to follow your gut. You have to get your friends together. You have to make sure that you're having fun while you're doing it, but you have to protect your wild places where you play. Like, where are you going to do all of these activities that bring you so much joy and peacefulness and inspiration if we don't have these wild places? So everybody was scaring me that, oh, what if you guys get arrested? I was like, if I end up in jail because I was fighting for a free-flowing river, well, I might as well. Like, if you have a jail story because you are fighting for nature, I feel like this is a really good jail story to have. So for the next year, I'm just going to continue to help out however I can. And I'm also really excited to learn how to whitewater kayak a little bit better, because it's just such an amazing way of exploring a place and traveling and hanging out with friends and enjoying beautiful nature. I am also turning 30 next year, so I decided that I'm going to make this year really big one and do all of the things that I didn't have the confidence for before, that I was just too scared to try. Like, I thought that I could never do that, and then this year proved to be completely different, so I'm just really excited.
Speaking of challenges that push your boundaries, I heard from a lot of you about big goals, bucket lists, and adventure travel. Here are a few snippets.
Hi, Gail. This is Kate Rafe from Worcester, Massachusetts. And in 2019, I am very much hoping to finish my New Hampshire 48. I've already got 30 done and did that in about a year, so I'm hoping to get the last 18 done and maybe along the way hit up some of the other lists in New Hampshire, like the Belknap Range and the 52 with a View list.
My name is Rocio. My goals for 2019 for my outdoor life are more trips, including a backpacking trip for the outdoor adventure group for women of color that I created last year. I want to complete the 52 hike challenge. I got pretty close this year, but I'm not sure that I'll complete all 52 hikes. I want to do some trail races. I'm a runner and I just ran my first marathon this past October, and I really like to get into trail running. And then my goal is also to complete my first ultra marathon in 2019 towards the end of the year. So hopefully all of those are things that can come true for me.
So for 2019, I have set myself a massive goal to do 400 trail adventures before I turn 40. I'm already 20 in and I've been documenting them on my blog at trails365.com.
In January, my husband and I, we are going to Japan to go snowboarding. I'm very, very, very excited about it. It's something that's been on my and our bucket list for a really long time. After seeing all of our friends from Colorado and in the industry getting to experience that Japao, and it's going to be hopefully some good snow and incredible. If not, I mean, we're in Japan and that's going to be amazing, and we'll be in the mountains and get to experience another culture's nature. And I've been studying a little bit of the Shirin-Yokin, the forest bathing, so I'm interested in just seeing where that came from as well. So I'm really excited to go to Japan and experience all that.
But I'm also trying to remember that there is beauty in the small too. There is beauty and purpose in being outdoors in small ways. Like, I ordered packages of flower seeds for the first time. I want to grow some flowers by hand in my flower bed. I want to bring my paints outside and paint the landscapes, even if it just means painting at the edge of town overlooking a field. I want to try cross-country skiing, you know, even if it's not big backcountry trails and impressive scenery, even if it's just the groomed trail that circles around town. Yeah, I still want to include the outdoors in really meaningful ways. It'll be different. It won't mean, you know, hiking in national parks in the States. It won't mean, you know, walking some cliffside trails in Ireland. But I think that's okay. And I think that, I think it'll be very beautiful too.
I got to hear from a few familiar voices. You might remember Helen's Australian accent from episode 54 of She Explores 50+.
Hi, Helen Wallace speaking here from Australia. 2018 is closing after such a wonderful year in the great outdoors for me. From planning and walking suburban walks in my area to hiking along our beautiful coastline, hiking the many ferny trails in our national parks, to climbing our highest mountain, Mount Kosciuszko, here in Australia. These were all training walks for hiking the Kumano Kodo in Japan, which I did in August. This is a dual pilgrimage walk with the Camino Francis, and the trail leads you to the most stunning views across the Kii Mountains on the Kii Peninsula in Japan. Over ancient tree roots and century-old worn rocks, this pilgrimage was amazing for me. Even after a really nasty fall and just about losing one eye and trying to outrun a typhoon, I still classified it as one of my most amazing adventures. I also came to realize through this experience, us women are a pretty resourceful lot when we need to be. 2019 is shaping up to be just as awesome. I will be hiking the 255K Robert Louis Stevenson Trail in France, retracing the steps of this iconic author. After listening to episode 54, I realised there really are some amazing women out there, and I also hope that I can encourage women in their senior years, just like me, to step outside into the glorious outdoors. Through my guided walks with Meetup and given an opportunity through my Instagram photos and blog, I really hope I can do this. It is a challenge I have set myself for 2019. It's amazing how a little walk in the outdoors can affect your health, happiness, and fitness.
I turn 30 next year, and I actually turn 30 in the same week as National Epilepsy Awareness Week in the UK.
And this is Francesca, who submitted a memo for episode 63, Risk Takers. She started a podcast called Seize Your Adventure to share the stories of people with epilepsy in the outdoors.
This year, I'm definitely kicking it up a notch. And for my 30th, I'm going to take on 30 adventure activities. So this is partly for me. It's going to be pushing me out of my comfort zone in quite a few different ways, particularly anything that's going to be related to water. That's something that I've always had a slight fear over. But it's also going to be really useful for the website and for anybody else with epilepsy who might be reading and listening to the stories that I'll be telling over the next year. Because I'm really hoping that for each activity I do, I get to speak to somebody else with epilepsy that does that activity, and I get to encourage other people with epilepsy to perhaps try something that they thought they weren't able to do. So this is going to be things like stand-up paddleboarding, surfing, skiing, things that some of my contributors already do, but it's also going to be a few really big ones. So I'm hoping to climb the three highest peaks in Morocco in July. I'm hoping by the end of the year to try and do a sprint triathlon. Now, I'm not a runner and I'm definitely not a swimmer, and I'm not very stable on a bike, to say the least. So the triathlon is very definitely going to be the biggest challenge for me. But there's going to be lots of different things, and I'm very open to working with other people and working with other companies to try and spread the awareness of epilepsy and also encourage people to start doing things they didn't think were possible, including myself.
Like a lot of us, Teresa reflected on 2018 and realized she did more than she thought she would. In turning 40, she took a big trip to Patagonia and got to experience the natural beauty there. And it left her wanting more, but needing to figure out how to balance that want with a full-time job.
I think the trip to Patagonia, coupled with the fact that I also turned 40, reminded me that our time on Earth is limited, and I have to live my life as free and as best as I can. So I've made a conscious effort to be more spontaneous, book those last minute cheap flights, and embrace traveling solo, which quite honestly terrified me for the longest time. I still struggle with how do I balance traveling and exploring this world with also working a full-time job. I haven't quite figured it out, but my goal for 2019 is to find a balance and not sacrifice my desire to learn about the land, the people, the world, differences in each other, and so forth, because I'm constantly making excuses that involve work or something else.
That trade-off between work and outdoor time is often on our minds.
My name is Greta Matos, and I came to Chile a little bit over 4 years ago. I moved here after living in San Francisco for several years and building a successful career in corporate sustainability. And I definitely came to Chile because I had grown tired. My soul had grown tired of the weekend warrior lifestyle that I had to kind of succumb to in order to balance my work life and my desire to be outside.
Greta is consciously weaving the outdoors into her work this year and hoping to step away from her laptop and consulting work. And while she's not quite there yet, she's working really hard to get there.
As I look forward to 2019, I am really, really excited by the prospect and possibility of being able to channel and transition much more of my energy into the company that I'm building here, where I spend the majority of my time outside working in partnership with horses as we take people into nature and explore our inner wilderness and these incredibly wild and beautiful places that we're so lucky to have access to down here. The prospect of being able to integrate so much of my business knowledge that I gained over the years in my corporate career and take it out in the field and really apply it in my work with my company here is something that just, I don't know, it makes me so excited.
Oh, I guess it's my turn now. What am I looking forward to in my outdoor life? Well, I guess I had to look back too at this year. 44 episodes of She Explores, 44 Tuesday nights working last minute. No, not every Tuesday night. But for me, my outdoor life and my podcasting life definitely intersect. But I do struggle at times to get outside as much as I would like to, just like a lot of the people who submitted voice memos. So looking forward to 2019, I would love more time for thought between episodes, more time to pick the right stories, to hear from more people, to digest them, to craft them into something that's worth listening to. I'm hoping for more gentle walks around my town. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I like to find patterns in nature, find short little snippets that are close to home versus something that I need to travel far for. I'm looking to find more peace in being close to home and comfort in staying in one place more. And I'm also really hoping for more expression in my outdoor time. So giving myself that time to feel something and turn it into something, whether that's a podcast episode or a photograph or just a little video that I take on my phone. I don't necessarily need to share everything, but I know that I get a lot out of expression that comes through time outside. And on that note, I also would like to, when possible, be more honest with myself as to what I need and what those around me need. That might take the shape of just writing in a journal every now and then or sketching something, but reflecting back to myself how I feel versus not giving myself that opportunity. Overall, I'm really, really excited to keep producing this show. I'm excited for more stories, and I'm excited to hear from you as to like what you want to hear about. The inbox is always open for submissions in terms of emails. I cannot always respond just because the team size for this podcast is just me. We have other people working on other things, but the podcast for right now is just me. So thank you for your patience in that as well. So yeah, more hikes close and far from home, more backpacking trips, more of the same, and more creating. I have one last reflection to share with you from Christina. I saved it for last because I think it strikes an apt balance between looking back and moving forward.
Yeah, so I've actually been thinking a lot about what I want my 2019 outdoor life to be like. It goes back to a couple years ago when in 2017 I set a really ambitious hiking goal for myself. And I ended up accomplishing what I set out to do. I hiked just over 800 miles and 250,000 feet of elevation gain. But by the end of that, I was like just hiking for the sake of hiking and doing things that weren't pleasurable to me anymore and sacrificing time with friends in order to do the, you know, longest and hardest hikes I could possibly do just to meet this arbitrary number that I set for myself. And I found myself really burned out and not loving this thing that I was super passionate about. And that kind of broke me. It wasn't healthy. I was thinking about, you know, calories burned and, like, I don't know, just how much I could possibly push myself physically. And honestly, it just, something that I loved became something that I kind of didn't look forward to anymore. So I recalibrated in 2018 and I took stock of what I really wanted out of my hiking life, and I hiked a lot less. I could not tell you how many miles I hiked or how much gain I did. And honestly, I think I went a little too easy on myself. I would wake up some mornings that I had planned on hiking and just be like, I don't really feel like it, even if it was like a beautiful day. And then I'd spend the rest of the day like just kind of sitting and then later on regretting that I didn't get outside. I actually haven't hiked in, I don't know, 2 months, I guess. So I think for me, 2019 is kind of finding a balance between the going super hard and making it something that was actually detrimental to my mental health versus going a little bit too easy on myself and not really getting to enjoy the outdoors. So establishing a new relationship for myself again, one that's healthy and one that makes me happy and one that brings me joy and leaves me in a better place than the last couple of years. Oh, and I really want to do something that I feel like I might not be able to do, because all of my hiking goals I've recently have been sort of like, oh, I know I can do this, so sure, I'll give it a shot, but I really want to try to force myself to do something that I think I might not be able to finish and possibly fail at it, because I mean, that is going to be where I'm going to find some really cool growth, I think.
Thank you to all of the people featured in this episode: Marissa Priestap, Alicia Millott, Ruby and Jenny Goldman, Rhiannon Ball, Annabelle Plush, Deandra Oliver, Jennifer, Megan Young, Haley Hurst, Kimberly Bradley, Katarina Mulek, Rachel Friedman, Kate Raffi, Rocio, Elisa Jansen, Desiree Penner, Helen Wallace, Francesca Taraskis, Teresa Benitez, Greta Matos, and Christina Hickman. Check the show notes for their blogs and projects and social media handles. Thank you to our sponsors, Benchmark Maps and Audible. As always, all sponsor codes and links are located in the show notes and on the episode landing page. If you enjoy listening to She Explores, please take the time to review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Even better, share this podcast with a friend. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, so make sure to tag us so we'll see it. I've been having a lot of fun sharing podcasts with you all. I think another one that you'll like is The Moth. It's been around forever. It's probably not news to any of you, but maybe it's news to one of you, and that's enough for me. It's live stories told about a certain subject. They can be deeply personal, they can be funny, but they're all just about real people, and I love that. If you enjoy She Explores, I know you'll love our sister podcast, Women on the Road, hosted by Laura Hughes. It's all about life on the road from the feminine perspective. It airs weekly on Fridays. So this is the last episode of She Explores for 2019. The show won't be back for 3 weeks. Thank you. Thank you for listening this year. If you have a few episodes to catch up on, this is a good time. And if you want to stay in touch, the best way to do that is by joining our She Explores podcast Facebook group. It's almost 4,000 members strong, all people who listen to the podcast. And it's a place to connect with people featured on the episodes and also just to ask questions about your outdoor life. I'm really excited to start up 2019 again with some new episodes based on your feedback. Music is by Kay Engel, Jason Shaw, and Lee Rosevere using a Creative Commons Attributions license. Until 2019, have fun out there.